Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating canvas sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome in. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. We have a lot to talk about, as you heard. At the end of David's show, 2 hours, they fly by here. So if you want to get on to one of the topics we're talking about, make sure you get in early. The cannabis management in New York State, I believe, from the beginning, was a mess. And there's a current story about that. And to join us to talk about this is my assemblyman, Paul Bologna. Paul, welcome to the show.
Joe, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Paul, let's start, before we get into this story, just how you've observed cannabis and the state dealing with cannabis over the last few years.
It's pretty much been an abject failure since the beginning. And, you know, I don't know any other state in the entire U.S. that treats businesses and entrepreneurs the way that New York State has in this business. Now, however you feel about cannabis and the decriminalization or the legalization of cannabis, the point is now that it is legal, how do we regulate it? And that was the big thing from the beginning, how do we regulate it? So you have business owners, and this is generally who I hear from, is business owners that are now required to have an actual property. They have to build out the space. They have to pay taxes on the property. They have to pay rent on the property. They have to pay for the utilities on the property with no actual guarantee that they're ever going to get a cannabis license. So these business owners and entrepreneurs are pretty much bled dry by New York State because of the incompetence in terms of distributing these licenses. So that's problem one. Now, problem two is that you have this story that we're talking about now, where, you know, New York State tries to put up some type of safeguards to keep, you know, cannabis away from schools. So they measure 500 feet. And if anyone owns a bar or a liquor store, very similar, it's, you know, 200 feet from a school or a place of worship. This is 500 feet. Now, from my understanding of what this happened in this story, they mismeasured or, you know, didn't measure the correct, whether it's the property line or the door of the dispensary. The Office of Cannabis Management mismeasured that. And I think it's the 152 businesses across New York State that they mismeasured this on. And they now have to shut down shop and start a new location and go through the whole process all over again. Now, I'm reading that the governor's is proposing a $15 million fund to do this, where each business affected by this would receive up to $250,000 of basically I'm sorry money. I can tell you right now, as a member of the state assembly, I haven't voted on or seen anything that would be $15 million of funding for this. I have no idea where that $15 million is coming from. So, but Joe, this is Kathy Hochul's New York State. This level of incompetence throughout, you know, these are basic functions of government, providing licenses and allowing businesses to operate. These are basic functions of government that this state cannot get right, and it's been a thorn in our side for years.
You know, Paul, I feel like we could just take the $10 million that was set aside for Letitia James and put it towards this fund.
Well, you know, that $25 million, there you go. We'll just start adding it to it. Just start racking it up, baby.
You know, I look at New York, and I still think of, you know, I'm a huge Mets fan, and I think of back in 2010, I think it was, when New York was running the We're Business Friendly commercials.
Oh.
And, you know, I look at a story like this. You know, let's not even look at taxes for a second. I look at a story like this. I'm from out of state. Why would I even look to New York State to start a business?
That is, Joe, it's funny. I was literally just talking to my chief of staff about this exact thing. If you are a business in Ohio or Pennsylvania and you're looking to expand your business, and this is how New York State operates, and this is the functionality of the government that you're going to, you know, enter into, why on earth would you want to enter a state that is so blatantly incompetent in allowing businesses to thrive? And it's not just this. New York State has and again, I've only been in the assembly for 7 months, and some of the things that I've seen and that I've heard on the floor of the assembly, I literally had to pick my jaw up off the ground. It is not just this. It is bail reform. It is the CLCPA. And apparently now the governor is just realizing that this gas ban on new builds is going to be a problem. Apparently just now people are realizing that the universal electrification, electric school buses are not really feasible, and it's not really realistic to do it in the time frame that is laid out in the law. Apparently just now that everyone's just coming aware of the fact that this is a problem. You have got to be kidding me. And that is just standard operating procedure for this governor's government and this governor's New York State. And it is incredibly frustrating to watch.
So we have the biggest budget, or one of the biggest budgets in the country, and now we're going to have to pay for the state's mistake. You mentioned electric buses, and it was one of our topics earlier in the week. You know, you've got so many people speaking out, the Highway Superintendents Association, but you've also, I mean, Paul, we live in reality, right? I mean, it gets freaking cold here. I mean, can you imagine putting students on an electric bus in February? I mean, we know the cold drains the battery. And I think about 2000 when gas buses were stranded in the middle of a blizzard. I mean, this seems almost dangerous just to get a point across.
Joe, you have little kids and I do too. And I represent, you know, northern rural Niagara County, Somerset, Newfane, Wilson, where there was a great distance between houses and between schools. And I can't imagine what's going to happen on these electric buses in the middle of February when it's 4 degrees outside, something happens, the bus stalls, and suddenly you're left with a bunch of little kids on a bus in the freezing cold. You know, it's again, New York State has a tendency to do first and worry about the consequences and this stuff later. And you know what? I know that we like to talk about, you know, Democrat, Republican, and partisan issues. Honestly, Joe, it's in the state legislature, it is people that live on planet Earth and people who don't. And that's really what it boils down to.
I mean, it seems all this stuff seems really clear. And you mentioned the gas hookup. And I know we're going off the topic we agreed to, Paul. But the fossil fuel hookup has been an issue since being announced. And that goes into effect at the beginning of next year. And there's still so many more questions. I mean, do you think there will be a delay put on? Do you think there will be a stop to this madness? I mean, I've got one thing happening in Washington, D.C., and it seems like the state just wants to do the complete opposite and go more restrictive and kick the gas companies out of the state.
Mm-hmm. Look, I'm not in the business of predicting the future. I'm in the business of influencing it. So from where I stand, my priority is a complete repeal of the CLCPA altogether. Anything that has to do with banning gas, the mandated universal electrification, my goal is to repeal it all and let the market dictate. Look, I've been saying this for years. We should have a very wide swath of energy resources. And what that does is that basically it's a hedge against market volatility. So if you want to lower energy prices, right, because apparently we have this affordability crisis that's going on that the governor loves talking about, but we're not doing anything to actually solve it. And a lot of it stems with energy. So if you want to reduce energy costs, shouldn't we be investing in every type of sort? Like, I have nothing against green energy, but we should be using that as a supplement to the energy that we have available to us now to basically create a market, create competition, and lower prices across the board. That's what we should be doing. Now, I don't think that this is a realistic implementation. I think that 2026 is going to come and people are going to be panicking. So I would hope that New York State would be passing some type of legislation to at least at the minimum extend it. I'm actually proposing legislation that would allow municipalities to opt in or out, depending on where you are. So if in New York City, you want to go all electric, God bless you. But if you in upstate New York, Western New York, your community wants to maintain, you know, its natural gas, that's something that you should be allowed to do. So that's something I'm actually going to be introducing in the next couple of weeks here.
That's I think that's a great idea. And like you said, I mean, hey, I'm not against, I'm not against if I don't have to fill up my car with gas, nothing about the environment. I just, hey, it sounds cheaper to me. I like to go on road trips and I don't want to wait an hour every time I have to recharge.
But Joe, if electric cars were affordable, if they were, efficient and they were reliable, guess what? We'd all be driving electric cars, but they're not. And that's the problem. I'm a market person. I believe in market solutions, and the market should dictate how quickly we get to electrification.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Paul, before I let you go, back to cannabis. I know this is early. This story is just coming out. But do you think there'll be movement in Albany on this next time you guys meet?
Well, I saw one state senator said that we should be grandfathering in these businesses. Now, while on one hand, it's not necessarily the business's fault for the situation that they're in, so it's a pro-business piece of legislation. However, at the same time, we're basically saying, okay, it's okay for cannabis dispensaries to be selling closer to schools than it originally anticipated. So there's some things I would like to see, some actual language and legislation, but I really want to see where the hell this $15 million is coming from that the governor apparently has, stashed away to fix this problem that was created by her office.
It looks like you guys will have another meeting with the comptroller to find that money.
Can't wait. I'm sure it's going to be riveting.
Hey, Paul, always great. I really appreciate you jumping on last second with us.
Anytime. Thanks, Joe. I really appreciate it.
That is Assemblyman Paul Bologna. He is from the he's from the district that I live in, Clarence Center, as he mentioned. He also has part of Niagara County as well, and we appreciate him coming on. I just the cannabis situation in New York State has been a cluster since day one, right? It seems like it has been mismanaged from day one. Remember how long it took just to get license out there, right? I mean, we were talking about years. And like Paul said, this isn't if you're for or against. This is something the state decided to go through with, right? I'm not sure I like the fact that everywhere you walk now, you get the smell of marijuana, right? I feel like I'm back at a college party. But we're not debating that. That's the law. They're legal. It is legal. Cannabis is legal in New York State. But the rollout of this, it's just like with sports gambling, right? I have nothing against sports gambling. But, I mean, the state really went from, hey, no, you can't do that, and we're going to shut you down. And if you had an account with a hold'em poker site in the late 2000s, you might not even ever see your money again. We went from that to, oh, you want to bet on Coastal Carolina and Idaho State on a Wednesday night? Be my guest. You went from one to the other. It was a complete 180. With cannabis, they went the same way. Again, that's fine. That's not what we're talking about here. This is two things. This is, I think, a continued cluster bleep of the rollout of cannabis, and then just the state putting these business owners in such a tough position. Now you have to apply for money, as Paul said, money that the state doesn't have. I mean, New York State is operating at one of the biggest budgets, and they're still looking for money. So now we're going to have a fund. By the way, this is the same state that put a fund aside to, I know they didn't flat out say it, but we all know it was for Letitia James in her legal issues that she brought on herself. But, you know, because Trump is awful and everything bad Trump, the state took your tax dollars to pay for Letitia James' legal funds. Now imagine if they took that money and said, sorry, you know, sorry, Tish, you'll have to pay for your own legal funds and put that towards these businesses. This seems a little more important to the state. It is a mistake the state made. And you want to project this business friendly, which, by the way, New York State's been trying to project since I was in college. New York's been trying to push back and say, no, we are business friendly. Again, I remember the Cuomo commercials during some of the awful years of the Mets when, you know, I just, regardless of how good or how bad they are, there I am, glued to the TV. And these commercials, you know, talking about 10-year tax breaks and, oh, New York is back in business. New York is ready for your business. It couldn't be further from the truth. There is a reason that people and businesses are regularly leaving this state. And this is just another sign to anyone out there. You know, that's why it really irks me when I hear the Sean Ryans and the Brian Culpas of the world badmouth Doug Jamal. This is a guy who's not from Buffalo, who fell in love with the area and has tried to, he's brought back the biggest building in downtown Buffalo that was sitting vacant. Talk about embarrassing. He brought back, he helped continue bringing back the Statler. He had the old police station, I believe he turned into lofts. Like, he has picked up project after project after project. But oh my gosh, he comments on how messed up government is and how Amherst has completely been treading water on the Boulevard Mall project, and he can't get to work. Now all of a sudden he's crooked, is this, he's that. I mean, come on. They should be singing his praises because it's stories like this. 152, let me get the number right. I want to make sure I got the number right here. 152 licensed cannabis retailers have to find a new site now. Now, by the way, 88 of these are in New York City. Do you realize in New York City, you're usually signing a 10 or 15 year lease? The state now is making you find a new location. Yeah, they might give you $250,000, but you have to find your way out of a 10-year lease. I mean, this is something that could hang over your head because of a mistake the state made. And you're going to go out there and say, why doesn't anyone want to come invest in New York State? Well, it's because you put red tape after red tape after red tape. Business owners in New York State feel like their hands are tied doing business here. And like I said, I mean, don't even look at taxes for a second. Just look at continuous mistakes like this, where the state's mistake, let's just pretend they don't get the $15 million. The state's mistake could run these business owners, and I don't, regardless of what you think about cannabis, could run these business owners out of business. Or, at the very least, they're going to have a 10 or 15-year lease hanging over their head. I mean, David said it a few days ago about Western New York swimming in incompetence, and I think he'd agree. New York State's swimming in incompetence. And we are lucky to have, you know, some smart people in Albany, right? We've got Paul, you just heard. We've got Rob Ort. We've got Borrello. We've got some smart people in Albany. Unfortunately, it's Kathy Hochul's show and her party running the show in Albany, and continuous mistakes like this. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. 803-0930, star 930. Any business owners out there, what would you do in this situation? Cannabis dispensary owners, tell us about your experience trying to open up. I'd love to hear from you. 803-0930, star 930. We'll talk more about this. And also, the former president of Madai College is opening a education consulting firm? I got some thoughts on that on WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
803-0930, star 930. I asked for business owners out there, just to kind of, we heard this story about the cannabis dispensary owners, and 152 of them now have to find new place to do business. They can apply possibly to get $250,000 from the state. Now, as Paul mentioned, I believe this, they will still have to vote on this. But 152 licensed cannabis retailers, 88 in New York City, 17 in other parts of the state, will now have to find a way or find a new place to put their business. Okay, the state might give you some money, but you're going to have a 10 or 15 year lease hanging over your head. I mean, and that seems for a mistake the state made. And by the way, if you're saying, Joe, what's the mistake the state made? Well, you cannot have a dispensary within 500 feet of a school property line. The state made a mistake when giving out license. They didn't properly measure or whatnot. And now, as I said, 152 licensed cannabis business owners have to go now through all these hoops, which they already had to go to get the license to begin with. Let's go to James in Buffalo. He's a small business owner. James, tell us what it's like to be a business owner in New York State.
It's horrible. The SBA and the New York State and the federal government define a small business, and I may be wrong saying this, but I'll probably be pretty close to like 299 employees on down is considered a small business, or 249 on down. New York State doesn't care. Like the dispensaries, all they care about, they're selective when they say that they are very welcoming and pro-business. It's pro-businesses like Bass Pro, Tesla. They don't care about the small businesses like we own with, let's say, 20 people and under. All they continually do is hose us on everything we do, and that includes the city of Buffalo, Erie County, New York State. If you look at Tesla as the best example of New York State, how they're selective in business, they built the building. They tooled the building and gave Tesla a $750 million lease with a $1 a year payback. people out there will know who I am, and I'm not going to tell you when I say this. Elon Musk will be a fossil for another planet to discover when there's a dollar, the first dollar ever gets given back to New York State. But what Erie County and the city of Buffalo have done, city of Buffalo everybody hearing this that owns a business in Buffalo will agree with this. They reassessed every property in the city of Buffalo over the last few years. Some businesses that were assessed at $300,000-$400,000 are now assessed at $1.2 million, $1.3 million, $1.4 million. These are the businesses and buildings that are in a close proximity to, like, we're going to say Tesla downtown or on the east side or South Buffalo. What's pitiful about it is they're not paying sales tax, but they're generating the sales tax by raising the reassessment on everybody that is around that facility. And if you think about it, the hypocriticalness to it all is they're the ones picking up the lack of sales tax that we get out of Tesla, because Tesla's a manufacturer that sells to exempt businesses. I don't know anybody in Western New York or New York State that buys solar panels as a business or in Erie County and installs them to see any type of tax return on sales tax that they would get out of it. Then they'll take a business. If we go back 10, 15 years ago, they offered Bass Pro the old Memorial Auditorium, and they give them tax breaks on it. So they bring these big box stores in business and promise them the world. And in actuality, what it does is put every other small business that has invested in New York State for the last 20, 30, 50, or 100 years out of business, because they're giving them everything to come here and put us existing businesses out of business.
You know, James, we've heard lately in downtown Buffalo, so many businesses pack it up, and you know, especially a lot of restaurants pack it up, either closing altogether or moving into the suburbs. You mentioned Buffalo and Erie County. How do they add to the problem?
Well, because they want these big businesses to come in, right? We're on the east side of Buffalo. We're in an old building. Probably one of our buildings is probably from the mid to late 1800s. We would like to put up a new building, reinvest in Buffalo. But what happens is then it goes to the preservationists. If we apply for a demolition to tear a building down or a building permit, they give every old building or old business building in the city to the Preservation Society, and they kind of dictate that the money that we don't have, we have to spend to preserve this building. We see it time and time again. The taxes are great in the city of Buffalo up until a year or two ago, but this reassessment is going to put more and more businesses in the city of Buffalo out of business. And my starting point to this was, they don't really care about the little businesses, that the mom and pops like we say we are, that have 15 to 25 people or employees. I like to think that we give back to the community by supporting our employees, by paying them a good dollar. But New York State, Erie County, and the city of Buffalo is forcing a lot of us to think otherwise. Now, you had said people are moving into the suburbs. Look at suburb taxes, building taxes, property taxes on a commercial business. It's another one. It's unaffordable. And that's all dictated by New York State.
Oh, my gosh. Awful. Awful. Now, James, are you in downtown Buffalo? Where in Buffalo is your business?
We are on the east side of Buffalo.
What kind of work do you do, if you don't mind me asking?
We're a truck equipment house in the city of Buffalo. And we sell snow plows, dump trucks. We fabricate. We do vans. We do anything that you could put onto the back of a truck. We're not the only business doing this in the city of Buffalo, but we're all saying the same thing. I sit and look at the Clinton Bailey market area. They wanted to tear down a building to add to their business. The preservation has stopped them. We've seen this downtown with that old, I don't know what the building was, that part of it fell down. Some of these old buildings that are sitting dormant, they're sitting dormant because the Preservation Society won't let them take them down. They do reassessments and tax us to pay for everybody that they're giving the free ride. My whole point to it is New York State is not tax friendly or business friendly unless you're a massive conglomerate that comes here. And then they give them the free ride for 10 years and then they close the doors and move away.
That was my next question, because I remember the commercials talking about the 10 years. I mean, our businesses, I mean, they're doing that, right? They're taking advantage. And then the year 10, day one, they're packing up and moving somewhere else.
Look at the city of Buffalo reinvestments, Family Dollar. What, 90% of them closed up? Brand new buildings all over the city, they're gone. And it just continually goes on and on and on. And I really like the 33 or the 198. How many people really want it? There's billion or $3 billion they want to reinvest it in the businesses that have been in Erie County or in the city. The little guys, give them incentives to add on, grow their companies, instead of giving it to these out-of-state companies that come in for a 10-year tax abatement and everything they get for free, and then they walk away.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I mean, I'm not wrong saying this. Maybe I am wrong. Did Tesla ever pay their penalties?
that they promised the state, the county, and the city of Buffalo?
That's a great question, James. That's a great question. We'll look it up. If they did, it flew under the radar. It flew under my radar, at least. Now, I got to ask you, as a business owner in Buffalo, you know, how is business and how does all of this with reassessments and everything, how does a price affect pricing for your customers?
Everything is up. I would bet you 10 to 30%, depending upon what you're buying and where you're getting it from. I mean, honestly, if you think about this, we have businesses in Buffalo. This is an example I tell everybody. We have businesses in Buffalo that make steel and aluminum. We have to buy our aluminum from Japan. It gets shipped across the Atlantic or the Pacific, but ours goes into New York City. It gets trucked to Toronto, and they bring it back to us cheaper than we can buy it made in Buffalo.
Wow. That is very telling.
It's a tariff. This is one of these things with tariffs that they're hurting everybody. We want to buy local, buy American. But they have to do something to let the smaller businesses grow. And New York State does not want that. They want all the big businesses. Kathy Hochul wants to say, oh, we've got Tesla or we've got whoever's coming to Buffalo. They want these big businesses to shine with their CEOs at the stock market or whatnot. And they don't. I really believe I do that. They don't care about the little guys.
Yeah, I got to ask, you mentioned tariffs. I mean, with some of these tariffs, is it going to make buying local more affordable?
Absolutely. Push people back to American made.
Yeah.
I mean, we got union workers, right, that we want to support. If they're making it overseas for $1 an hour and here it's $20 an hour, make it equal so we're forced to buy locally. And not to make matters worse, but let's look at Canada. We tried to expand into Fort Erie, into the Niagara region with our business. The Canadian government will not let us do it because they're protectionists and the Canadian government wants our manufacturers or us as a company to go to every Canadian citizen and hire them before we hire an American citizen. But Erie County doesn't do that here. I mean, look at the Canadians that come here every day that have jobs here. Why are they allowed to come and work here without the state or the government getting involved, but we can't do it in Canada?
Oh, I mean, yeah. Why is Canada able to close the border for 2 years, but, you know, America threatens tariffs and everyone here is all of a sudden anti-America and pro-Canada, but they weren't speaking for 2 years when they couldn't get to their property in Canada.
Right.
Yeah. Hey.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, James, I appreciate, man. I love that you're doing the work. You're you know, you've got a job in Buffalo. You're employing people in Buffalo, and keep up the good work, man.
Thank you.
James in Buffalo, shedding some light on being a small business owner. And he's right. You know, it should be profitable to buy local. And, you know, the state, people like James, that's who Kathy Hochul wants when she's making an announcement on a campaign year. Look at all these small business owners. But he's right. She will completely forget about the small business once the election's over. It's the small business owners. Oh, look, I'm here at the small business owner. Where were you for the 3 years that it wasn't an election year? No one saw you there. These politicians, and that's why, you know, he brought up the 33, and we talk about that tunnel that they want to put on the 33. I'm telling you, the only reason Tim Kennedy, Sean Ryan, Kathy Hochul, they want the campaign ad on top of the tunnel. Look what we did. We brought this community back together. Even though if you talk to anyone along the 33 or most people along the 33, they're saying if you're going to do anything, we want it to go back to the original Humboldt Parkway. Now, we can have a debate if that's realistic, if that's rational. But if you talk to people, don't want a tunnel. People don't want to live at the end of a tunnel. But that won't matter because that ad will be for New York State and it will be from the vision of the Democrat Party and Kathy Hochul. Tim Kennedy, when he runs for, you know, I mean, I don't think this tunnel's ever going to be built, by the way, but let's just say in 6 years, it's done. Kennedy's running for his fifth term. He'll be standing on that tunnel. Look what I did when I was in state Senate. Again, I think in 20 years, we'll be driving down the 90. And it will be the exact same, I'm sorry, the 33, and it will be the exact same 33 we're driving down today. There won't be any tunnel. Now, one thing that is different on the 33 is my alma mater is no longer there. Madai College, as we know, closed down about 2 years ago. And I talked a lot about it then, And, you know, I try not to dwell on the past, even though I loved every single day of college. And I think if most people are being honest with themselves, it's, hey, doesn't mean I don't love my life now. I do love my life now, right? Married to a beautiful woman. We have a beautiful child, right? I'm living the dream. I'm on the radio 6 days a week. So I'm not complaining, but college was a lot of fun. And I think if we were just being honest, there are days where you wish you could wake up and you're back in college at the age that you would have been in college. I don't think anyone wakes up and goes, oh, I'm 45. I wish I was sitting in my dorm. Anyway, my point was Madai College. And we learned today from the Buffalo Business Journal that former Madai University, sorry, they changed their name a year before they closed. Former Madai University president Kenneth Macker is launching a higher ed consulting firm. Hey, good luck to Ken. Good luck. I mean, hey, he obviously knows the business. I just think it's interesting. And he wouldn't talk to Buffalo Business, by the way. He declined an interview for the story. Now, I just think we have to be honest here. This guy was the president of Madai University from 2015 to 2022. That's after my time. A year later, after he abruptly retired, the college closed. Now, you might say, well, Joe, I mean, it's you know, education in America, and this is the reality of small colleges. But if we just look at the decisions made during his time with Madai College. In 2021, the school opened the soccer facility. The one that USL Buffalo just said was too toxic for them to play on and have reopened their stadium search. Madai College built that facility. They rolled this out. And they were in a lease agreement for $7.5 million. $7.5 million for a school that was $22 million in debt and more than $1 million a year in interest. These were, again, decisions. You know, when I was at Madai, we played at the All-High Stadium. It was fine. Well, I went and watched. I didn't play. The lacrosse team, I believe, played at Narden. That was fine. It's D3 sports. But I think they saw what DeUville was doing. And Madai always had this thing about, you know, oh, well, DeUville, a little bigger. Right? It wouldn't have been impressive if Nick Walinda walked across the Madai campus. And the problem was, I think at a lot of times, Madai and leadership like Kenneth Macker, and this is an opinion, I think they thought they were bigger than they were. You're a small college. You're a college that if you blink, you don't see it. You got to act like you're a small college. You're a small college that can't build out anymore because Rick James is buried behind the school in Millard Fillmore. You're a small college because the one time you try to get more land, Canisius blocked you and then didn't use the land for 10 years. And that's fine. But from after I left, now when I was there, the school, there was a proposal by me to put a parking garage, right? A multi-layer garage behind the school. Because parking was always an issue. I mean, you had people running across the 198 from the parking lot at Delaware Park. They didn't do that. They never built that. That was stupid, in my opinion. You should have tried to get as much on-campus parking, and the only way you could do that is build up, not out, because there was no room to build out. Then, because DeUville did it, Madai College invested in this sports complex that, I mean, if we're just looking at the facts, okay? If we're looking at the facts, that sports complex sunk the school. the $7.5 million sports complex for a school that was $22 million in debt, it sunk the school. These were decisions made at the top. And, you know, now the former president is going to have a consulting firm. He says on his LinkedIn, from interim to fractional CFO work to strategic turnarounds, financial aid optimism, and system overhauls, I've had the opportunity to guide institutions through some of their most pivotal moments. The problem is, one of those pivotal moments was shutting down a school that had been in operation for 148 years. Yes, it was through some different names. That's really interesting to me. And by the way, I wish the guy nothing but success. I never worked with him. But, I mean, you look at... That's like, John, if I took over WBEN, right? And let's say I brought in... Let's say it's me. Let's say I took over BEN. I said, you know what? David, Tom, see you later. I'm going to be on the air for 12 hours. And I single-handedly sink the station. And the station goes off the air. And then after that, I go, hey, radio stations, do you want some advice on how to stay on the air? How about you hire the guy that sunk a legendary radio station? That's what this sounds like. Now, obviously, I mean, WBEN, legendary. Madai College, I loved it. Let's be honest, not a legendary school. Might be legendary for those of us who went there. Me, Lucas Buckley, Madai, you know, holding the Madai banner here at Odyssey Buffalo. But I just think it's kind of ridiculous. Again, I wish the guy nothing but the best. Maybe he can consult by saying, hey, this is what I did. I signed up for a $7.5 million sports complex by a toxic chemical factory while we were in $22 million debt. Hey, maybe it's consulting by, like when George Costanza did the opposite of everything in that Seinfeld episode. Maybe that's what this will be. The opposite of everything that I did. I just thought this was a really interesting story. And I think it's also funny that he declined an interview for the new consulting firm. By the way, again, I just have to emphasize before we get to break, the soccer field that pretty much sunk them, which by the way, they used that picture on the article in Buffalo Business. The complex that sank them, Buffalo Soccer said, the air is too toxic for us to continue our stadium construction and has now delayed their season another year till 2027. That's the project that Madai College needed so badly that eventually sunk the school that I knew and loved dearly. So I thought I'd share that with you. 803-0930, star 930. When we come back, more of the show. More great stuff here on WBEN. Welcome back. Hour number two here on News Radio 930 WBEN. 803-0930, star 930. If there's anything you'd like to vent about. Also, you can text us, 803-0930. Someone texted in after the last segment. No one cares about your personal beefs with your small-time college. Move on. I thought it was an interesting story. I wish the guy nothing but the best. But, I mean, a lot of bad decisions were made in the lead-up to the school closing. I think it kind of rehashed some of the stuff that was out there. But I will take your point and move on, Texter. This is some scary stuff coming out of the out of these declassified files. Here's what Caroline Leavitt said just a few minutes ago in her press briefing about the newly declassified.
Well, I think a major organization of the national security apparatus, at least here at the White House within the National Security Council, has indeed taken place, and the president entrusts his current CIA director, John Ratcliffe, and our ODNI director, Tulsi Gabbard, to make the necessary changes to ensure classified intelligence, especially that could implement or hurt the national security of our country, does not make its way into the hands of irresponsible actors who want to politicize that intelligence for their own end. Since you brought up the declassification report that was put out by Senator Grassley today, I'm glad you brought it up because this should be a story every outlet in this room should be covering. This is further evidence that Hillary Clinton approved the Russia hoax against President Trump. Her campaign financed it. Again, she approved it. And the FBI and the CIA were both weaponized to, as our director of CIA has said, accelerate this hoax against then-candidate and former President Trump. To answer the heart of your question, the president wants to see justice served, and he trusts the Attorney General and the Department of Justice to implement that justice and hold these people accountable.
That was Caroline Leavitt just a few minutes ago. And by the way, this is what was released. This is what it says. Hi, HRC, that's Hillary Rodham Clinton, approved the idea about Trump and Russian hackers hampering U.S. elections. That should distract people from her own missing email, especially if the affair goes to the Olympic level. The point is making the Russia play a U.S. domestic issue. Say something like a critical infrastructure threat for the election to feel menace, since both POTUS and Vice President have acknowledged the fact IC would speed up searching for evidence that is regrettably still unavailable. However, there seems to be signs GRU. This is the release looks like someone copied an old piece of paper, like Xerox an old piece of paper, and there's parts of it missing. Anyway, this is from July 27th, 2016, and it shows that Hillary Clinton was concocting this idea to say that Trump was working with Russian hackers, that Russia is stealing the election. Remember the reports that Russia was meeting with Trump at Trump Tower and all of this stuff. And we know Obama was also saying the talking points. The media was playing along. And here we are. I mean, this is why people don't trust the government. This is why people don't trust elections. It's because of politicians. You know, Jeremy Zellner and the Democrats, they can blame conservatives and conservative pundits and opinion hosts. But this is why people don't trust their elections. This is what stops people from going to the voting box. This is why. Because it is it's the little club, and they have each other's back. And, you know, Obama and Clinton and Biden and the media, they all work together. And at the end of the day, they're just repeating something that, again, was concocted in a meeting room on July 27th, 2016. And furthermore, you're not seeing this on CNN, NBC, CBS. They're not playing this. They're not talking about this. If they were carrying that press conference, I'm sure they panned away as soon as she started talking. And they'll call it misinformation. They'll call anything from Trump misinformation. But they won't call out the real misinformation because they played a part in it. It's their club. Their little get-together club. And the thing is, it's crashing down. You try to defeat Trump. You try to put him away. You try to shut him up. Well, he got back in because you ran an awful candidate. He got back into the White House. And unlike the first 4 years, he is going to make sure everything he said he was going to do when it comes to exposing what's going on in D.C. and what's been going on for decades and what people have been able to get away with for decades is going to be uncovered. And this goes on and on, by the way. You see more of this stuff that was released to where it says they're working with the FBI and, quote, will put more oil into the fire. I mean, just talk about levels of distrust. all the stuff that you were told you're a conspiracy theorist for believing, all the stuff we were told to shut up about, fake news, Russian disinformation. How many times, and I'm not talking to the people who have been reading this stuff all along. I'm talking to the moderates, right? The independent voter. How many more things that were called conspiracy do you have to hear before you don't believe a word they tell you? Hunter Biden's laptop, Russian disinformation. Turns out, no, it wasn't. It was actually used against him in a courtroom. But for the 2020 election, people within the quote intelligence agency were telling you it was Russian disinformation. News outlets were silenced if they dare mention it. Joe Biden isn't running the show. Well, now we know that we all saw the debate. I mean, do I have to explain that one? But you were called crazy. You were called a conspiracy theorist when even questioning the decline of former President Biden. But we all saw it in real time. Hillary Clinton and the Russia hoax. People still say, you believe that Hillary Clinton just came up with that plan, it was the Democrats, you're a conspiracy theorist. Here we go again. COVID it was from a lab leak. Oh, you're crazy. That's conspiracy theorist. Is it? I mean, is there anyone out there that honestly thinks COVID came from anywhere else but a lab? I mean, come on. Are we still debating this in 2025? Everything they told you, not everything, most of the things they told you. And by the way, nothing that I just said is like irrational, is crazy to think. Like, was it crazy to think Hunter Biden left a laptop at a repair shop? We were crazy for thinking that, right? Crazy to think that Hillary Clinton, who was, I mean, just in her own scandal, and again, an awful candidate, crooked from the moment she entered American politics. We were to believe that her cooking up this kind of hoax was crazy. Joe Biden, who, by the way, has been in the public eye for 50 years. We're just not supposed to believe our lying eyes. Don't believe, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. The auto pen, right? That was a conspiracy. Oh, that's a conspiracy. What are you, a conspiracy theorist? Turns out, no, Joe Biden almost exclusively used the auto pen, especially in those last 2 years in the White House. Oh, here's another one. Joe Biden will never pardon his son. He will never pardon Hunter Biden. Stop it. 2 hours left as president, it's announced that he's pardoned his son. Joe Biden will never step out of the race. Kamala Harris is doing a lot of good work at the border. I mean, it's lies after lies after lies. And repeatedly, every freaking night on cable news, every day in the liberal newspapers around the country, Trump's a liar. Trump's not telling the truth. Trump's covering something up. And they're the same institutions that participated in every single cover-up that I just mentioned. And there's more. But the people that are telling you that Trump is the crooked one, that Trump's in a cover-up, that it's another scandal for Trump, they're the same ones that covered everything up. They got 100% behind the Russia hoax. They got 100% behind COVID, the laptop, Biden, all this stuff. they helped. They were as much a part of it as the people who concocted it in a conference room at a hotel in some city. And I'll tell you what, these hearings that we're going to have on, hopefully we have public hearings on who knew what about Biden. By the way, there's been three books written on it, so maybe the authors of those books should give the transcripts of the interviews they conducted. But we need to have the hearings on Biden and what who knew what when. We need to have hearings on the Clinton Russia hoax and how was this allowed to happen. And by the way, all those hearings should be prime time. Just like the J6 hearings, the hearings on all these cover-ups, on all these hoaxes, do it at prime time. And I don't want to hear, well, it's not like the networks will carry that. Who cares? Who cares? Show the BS, show the favoritism, show the because there are still people out there. Can you believe this? In 2025, there are still people out there who don't think that network news has a liberal bend. Those people exist. So I don't care that NBC, CBS, ABC won't carry it. Who cares? Put it on at night, call their bluff, and point out to the American people that the only things they want to cover are when it makes Republicans look bad, when it's a Democrat talking point. And if it's the other way around, they're going to continue. CNN is going to continue like this never happened, that these declassified files never came out. They don't talk about the Hunter laptop on CNN anymore. Never existed. We never said it was fake. It just never existed. So this is obviously something that's going to come out. I know David talked a little bit about it, but just a few hours ago, these declassified files. And again, these files that Trump was never supposed to get his hands on because he was never going to go to the White House again. They were going to put Trump in jail. Trump was never going to see not only the White House, he was never going to see his business. They were going to take it all away from him. Not only did they not, were they not successful, it might have been the reason he was propelled back into the White House. And I don't blame him. Every day, expose it. Expose everything that's been going on. Because the real win for America in the long run is regaining the trust of the American people. And not just regaining the trust of Republicans or just regaining the trust of Democrats. It's regaining the trust of the American people and exposing the lies from both sides of the aisle, by the way. Exposing the lies, exposing everything that that these people did because he wasn't part of their club. He wasn't going to play by their rules. And yeah, he might expose the joke that is the American political system. Fascinating stuff. Fascinating stuff coming out of this report today. And like I said, you're going to hear more. I mean, piece by piece of this 2016 hoax. In the years we spent of your tax dollars investigating hearings, the way the president's hands were tied for parts of his first term because of this. What about Adam Schiff? What about Kamala Harris? They sat there and lied to you when they told you that they have information that would confirm Trump's involvement with Russia. Why didn't Adam Schiff or Kamala Harris bring that out in 2020? Why didn't Adam Schiff or Kamala Harris bring that out in 2024? Where's that information? Where are these files? Or are you just liars? And if you're liars, then you should have to answer for it. Kamala Harris is on Colbert tonight. I'm sure it's going to be a laugh fest. He won't ask her a tough question, but she should have to answer. Where are these files, these documents you had that you said in 2018 was going to indict Trump. Where are they? Adam Schiff. He's run three elections. Not once you've put this information out there. They're all liars. They're all a cover-up, and their best friend is the mainstream media. Oh my gosh. It's just ridiculous. It, you know, years of being called a conspiracy theorist. And how many of these quote conspiracies have come true? How many things that, hey, oh, let's not touch that. Let's move on. How many of those things turned out to be true? And actually, how many of them turned out to be worse than you originally imagined? Believe me, I'm not a conspiracy guy. I look at everything with, let's look into this a little more. I don't know. And there are things that I have said, you know, I don't really think this is how it is. And I've been wrong. And I've admitted to you when I'm wrong. Right? I've admitted every time when I go, that's a little too conspiratorial for me. And then, oh my gosh, turns out to be true. How many more times do we have to be called a conspiracy theorist for believing rational, reasonable, realistic things about how dirty our government really is? 803-0930, star 930. Would love to hear what you have to say about this. When we come back, Pyramid is hanging on to the Galleria Mall, and they say that public safety is doing just fine. We'll talk about that and much, much more here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Last time I saw her, it was turning colder. But that was years ago. Last I heard, she had moved to Boulder.
Now, Tanner, I've got to ask you, Tanner Saunders, what made this song come to mind today?
I keep a running list of songs that you mention in segments that I can later use for bumps, and that came up one time, and I was just looking through that list trying to think of something, and I saw that, and I'm like, all right, we did Billy Idol yesterday, so I'll throw a little country at you today.
That is amazing. That's absolutely amazing. Great song, one of my favorite Garth Brooks songs. Every time I hear Garth Brooks, so I saw him in 2015 at the arena, great show, and I saw him at the Odd when I was very young. I think of this Garth Brooks concert my parents had on VHS. They had recorded it. But my parents didn't learn until late in the VHS era that if you break the tab, remember the tabs? If you're looking at a cassette, on the right side, the right bottom, there was a tab. And if you break that tab, you can it does not allow the VCR to record. But my parents did not know that, again, until the late 90s. So we had this Garth Brooks concert tape. We had a Whitney Houston HBO special. I would watch those all the time as kids. There's videos of me running around with Whitney playing, with Garth playing. Great. But each of those had moments where someone accidentally pressed record instead of play. And like I said, I mean, those tapes were long ruined before my parents came to the realization, oh, if we take this tab out, then you can't record over it. That's how people kept some of their recordings in great condition. My parents still have a lot of like tapes. There's what used to be the old toy closet when we were kids, and they've got a shelf of VHS tapes. My dad recorded all four Bills Super Bowls. That's in there. Some of the playoff games. And the time that my dad was interviewed by Stefan Mihailu in 99. Because there was someone accusing Dave Fronczak, former council member who's been on the show, that has accused Dave Fronczak of living at my parents' home. It was actually the former home of his mother-in-law. My parents had just bought it and moved in, but he was getting accused of living in Amherst, right? That was living in Amherst as a council member in Buffalo. Very, you know, it was like the top story of the day that day. We still have all the airings of that interview on VHS. So if we could just find a VCR to play those tapes in or find a way to digitize those interviews, then we'd be all set. Welcome back. It is Joe Beamer on WBEM, by the way. I appreciate you being here on this Thursday, getting ready for the weekend. And I know for a lot of people, we're entering that last month of real summer. So many people are working these four-day schedules, right? They maybe work a half-day Friday or don't work Friday at all. So I know for a lot of people, you're listening, this is your Friday show. So I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you'll still join us tomorrow. Next week, the Erie County Fair starts. Yes, the Erie County Fair starts on Wednesday, August 6th, and this very program will be at the fair every weekday of the fair. Hardline will be there on Sundays. So the only day I won't be at the fair are the two Saturdays that the fair is going on. So if you're going to be out at the Erie County Fair during the show, 1 to 3, I'll be there, obviously, a few hours before. Make sure you come by, say hi, would love to meet you, and like I said, I'll be there every day. I'll be taking part in the food judging on Thursday, so looking forward to that. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of great stuff going on at the fair, and like I said, we'll be there just like we were last year. Last year, my show, you know, Brian and I's show was before the gates open. This year, I'll be there as the gates are open, as people are walking by, and like I said, can't wait to meet you at everyone's favorite Erie County Fair, and it is interesting how I have done a 180 on the fair. Because if you remember back when I was doing the old Friday show, I did a whole 3-hour show on how I don't understand the fair and people's hype on the fair. I was kind of making fun of people who buy an everyday pass and go all 12 days of the fair. Well, as someone who was at the fair for 10 of the 12 days last year, I get it. Like, there's a lot to do, a lot to see. There's a lot of cool exhibits. Some of the stuff's not there the entire 12 days, so you got to come back for it. I understand it now. It's a fun time. I had fun every day I was there last year. And we'll have to find something cool. Like, last year I did the bull riding thing. We could do it again, see if I beat my time. but we can find something else to do. I told, you know, Lisa's like, so what do you want to do at the fair? I said, just no, like, snakes. I don't want, like, any reptiles. That's not my thing. So I will legitimately not be able to do a show if I know that someone's going to surprise me with a snake. Like that, it will just be me babbling, which is most shows. But you get what I'm saying. It will just be nonsense because I won't be able to focus. 803-0930, star 930, if you want to comment on anything that we talked about today. This was in the Buffalo News, and I kind of want to get to it. Pyramid back in control in Walden Galleria says it remains deeply committed to Western New York. Now, Pyramid, they own the Galleria Mall. And as you heard with our discussion with Brian Nowak yesterday, you know, I asked him about ownership, and he said he might have something for us in the next 48 hours. I'm not sure if this is what he was talking about, if something had changed last second. But as it stands now, Pyramid is going to stay in control of the Galleria. And there was, of course, one page of this article that I wanted that did not print out, Tanner. Not that it's Tanner's fault. But it said this, and I will read. It says, court filings show that occupancy at the mall has increased from 83% in 21 to 90.6% in 24, and that the Walden Galleria has the highest sales per square foot in Pyramid's portfolio at $653 in April. They go on to say the mall is currently up to date on its tax payments, and public safety is under control, according to the town of Cheektowaga. Now, I will say that that last part about the public safety being under control is disputed by people I know who work at the mall. I'm happy to hear that they're 90% occupancy. Wish to see something go in that Lord and Taylor. I think Buffalo's big enough to where we can still support, you know, two malls, the Outlet Mall and the Galleria. But I mean, Pyramid, you know, they've gone into foreclosure on the Galleria. They're going to stay as the project manager. I think there was a lot of optimism if someone else had moved in. Because, you know, as I said with Medei College at the end of the first hour, you know, some bad decisions and, again, not all Pyramid's fault, but have led to a few of the vacancies in the Galleria. We know two of the vacancies are because of Station 12, right? Pottery Barn and Williams-Sonoma were left to go to Station 12. Station 12 still has no tenants, and Williams-Sonoma and Pottery Barn not in Buffalo. So that's not a mall issue. But you got to do more than just say to the paper that the public safety is under control. Because you need people to not only feel that, not just the people who work there, but you need people who are looking to go to the mall, spend the money, right? Beef up our economy. You need them to feel like they're going to a place and it's not gonna, you know, they're not gonna come in the middle of a fight. And too many people still feel like the Galleria, they want to stay away. Now you could say it's unfair attention that these incidents get in the media, but I think it's also people who talk to people who work at the mall. There's a lot of people employed at the Galleria. Let's be honest. There's a good chance you know someone, or at least know someone who knows someone who works at the mall or regularly attends the mall. If that person doesn't feel safe, I mean, just think about that's 10 people, 12 people. You know, they pass it on. I mean, the word is right now that people who work there don't feel like public safety is under control. And I think it's something that Pyramid has kind of just ignored. You know, Cheektowaga, I think, is doing what they can do. I was also interested in here where it says, you know, malls have faced so much with consumer habits changing. And, I mean, again, it's just blame, 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 excuse, excuse, excuse. I think I will go back to saying I think we are big enough to where, yes, we can support a mall. Western New York's big enough where it can support a downtown. But if people don't feel safe, if people feel like they're going to get in the middle of an altercation, they're probably going to avoid your business. They're probably going to avoid your downtown. And these are very similar issues that we are having in the city of Buffalo. And again, it's not just this issue in downtown Buffalo. A lot of factors have played into it. But Canal Side with the news of violence, the Galleria with some of the issues, this is why people are staying away. Because I will still say that a majority of people have something they need that they would rather go and get in person instead of wait 2 days for it to be delivered. I do still believe that most people, if they're getting an outfit or something, they want to try it on, they want to see how it looks before they purchase it. Maybe I'm just sounding like maybe I'm sounding like one of those boomers that Bellavia was talking about at the No Kings parade. But I or protest. But I do feel most people still, like, there are people who go out, they go clothes shopping. They want to do most of that in person. That feel the fabric, see how it fits on them. You know, I've always said a large at one place is a medium at another place. An extra large at one place is a large at the other place. But again, you're going to revert to other options if you don't feel like that's a safe place to go. And I think that's part of the issue. I'm not going to say all of it. Part of the issue facing right now, Western New York's really only mall that's left. Right? I mean, you've got the Boulevard and Eastern Hills that are closed, except for the exteriors. McKinley, I guess, is still open. I haven't been down there in a while. But when you're talking about 90% occupancy, I mean, it really is the Galleria and it's the outlets. And I was surprised to see how many of the exteriors of the outlets have closed up lately. But I thought that was an interesting story. So to follow up something we talked about with NOAC yesterday, Pyramid is going to stay in control of the Galleria as they, you know, face this foreclosure. And we'll see where it goes from there. But, you know, regardless if you go to the mall ever or not, you're probably saying, Joe, why is this a story? It's a story because of the jobs and the number of people employed in that building. You wouldn't want to see something happen to that building and lose all those jobs. So that's why I think it's important. That's why it's important to, you want people to feel safe because you want people going, spending their money. And yes, we want to support local. We want to support local. But even if you go in and purchase something at a national chain, at a place like a mall or at a plaza, that money is going to the jobs in that building, right? So, I mean, in some way, going to the mall, spending your money in the mall, it is keeping people employed. And that's part of the challenge. Obviously, yes, local is always the goal. But you also want to support the jobs of people who live here because they make that money and they spend it in the economy. It's the beautiful circle of money. And that would be a big hit to the economy if something happened all of a sudden to really the only mall of that occupancy rate in Western New York. And the last thing before I get out of here today. You know, I have to say, I there have been times where, let's just say it's been a stressful day or I got some bad news and I go to the car and yeah, maybe I punch my steering wheel or I scream at the windshield. We've all done that. But I would never say, hey, Tanner, what are you doing after work? Let's go out to the parking lot and scream as loud as we can because of our stress. Well, that's what's going on in Chicago, as Chicagoans, is that how you say it, are screaming at Lake Michigan to relieve stress. Here's what it sounded like. Yeah, like I said, I'm not going to sit here and say that I have not screamed to, screamed in private to relieve stress. I think I'd look like a big idiot if I went to a group scream, if I just collected everyone. After the show, me, Tanner, Puckett, Brayton, we're all going to go out and scream at the building to relieve stress. I'm not doing that. I'll do that, again, on my own time. You know, sometimes I find a pillow and scream into it. Other times, I'm just driving. There's no cars around me, and I scream at my steering wheel. I'm not screaming in a group. This is not a group activity for me. Tom Bowerly has a program that airs on this very network next after the news with Tom Puckett. Tom, would you get together with a group to scream at the lake?
That would be a big no. I prefer to do my screaming and my polysyllabic cursing, including multiple variations of a certain word used by President Trump not that long ago. I prefer to do it in the confines of my own car.
Yes, yes, me too. And I have said the actual statement that you mentioned from President Trump in my car at certain times, the exact way he said it.
Oh, I mean, let's put it this way. If you took any episode of Deadwood, that's how I talk in the car, okay? Except the anger level is generally a little bit more, but I'm not as bad as I used to be, Joe. I'll say that much. I've mellowed with age. Oh, you're going to walk right in front of my car on a rainy night. Oh, you're wearing all black and there are no streetlights out. Perfect first-rate thinking, but I'm not going to get upset. I'm just going to take a deep breath.
Oh, I sometimes, you know, I go, oh, you sent me that email now. But anyway.
That's one of the banes of my existence is, you know, coming on the air at 3 o'clock. People like doctor's offices are horrible for this because you say, look, I work 3 to 6 on the air and I can't talk on the phone because I'm a radio star. And it never fails. 3:20, there comes the phone call that you've been waiting all day. And you can't answer it. The good ones leave a message, though, so we don't have to play phone tag, which is good.
The worst is the people that you know you're on the air and for some reason think it's okay to call 5 minutes after the show has started.
That may have happened once or twice, but only once or twice. That's okay. That's all right. But, you know, my wife is notorious for just leaving me alone for weeks at a time. Anyway, she listens, though. She's a P1 to the radio station. She loves everybody on the radio station, except me, of course. But coming up, did you see the thing about the New York State and this new look at juvenile offenders and probation?
Oh, yes, yes. Another look.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to think here. If kids don't have the mental capacity to rationally understand what they're doing, how come we let 18-year-olds vote, and how come we let them join the armed forces?
It's a great question, Tom. It's a great question for some of these leaders that are pushing these talking points.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Joe, but when you were 16, 15 years old, did you know the fundamental difference between right and wrong? It's bad to shoot somebody. Did you know that?
I did. And by the way, when I was 15, if I was doing something wrong, I knew it was wrong. Like, there's no excuse. I knew it was wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you waited. I mean, your decadence didn't begin until Virginia Tech. I'm just saying that was the final chapter, the opening chapter of your decadence. But I want to get into that a little bit. And also Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on autism. He always says controversial things about autism. But, you know, at some point, and you were talking about this earlier with the conspiracy theories. And my favorite new expression is we need some new conspiracy theories because the old theories have been proven to be facts.
Yeah, they're not fun anymore. They're actually pretty, pretty disturbing.
You know what I'd like to know? I would like to know because there are so many people that you know and I know and people listening to us know who have children with autism. And it didn't used to be like that. And I want to know what the parents think is that caused the autism, because the rates now are absolutely out of sight. Is it more reporting? Is it a greater understanding? Is it a different nomenclature? Because in the old days, you know, that R word was tossed around an awful lot. And people, thank goodness, are a lot more sensitive now to the language of the disabled, in particular, the developmentally disabled.
Oh, for sure, for sure. That's interesting, Tom. It's something that, you know, I think we do know more about. It's something we need to talk more about, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say and the callers, Tom. Looking forward to it.
I am, too, and just one of Tom's rules is when the fake news says something, believe the opposite.
Yes, that's true. Tom Bowerly, he is up next after the news with Tom Puckett. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. It'll be my pregame before the Nelly Ja Rule concert here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations, galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.